Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome everyone to The Bible on Trial on this wonderful June 24, 2016. We are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your day to join us and to challenge yourself in some very special ways about the way in which you discover the truth. You know, I've been on this Adventist Forum website for, I guess, a week, and I find it fascinating that there are, and so is Rick. Rick, by the way, good morning, Rick. How are you? Rick? Oh, hang on just a second. Here we go. Oh, there we go. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. I'm doing well.
And Linda just showed up.
So that'd be Linda and Don, because they're on a trip.
Oh, wonderful. That's the 509 and ends with three fours.
Probably.
That's probably it. We are delighted that you have taken some time to join us today. I have been moving through some... Oh, there's Don. Let me put Don on here. Hang on.
Unmuted.
There we go.
There
Don,
we
you're
go.
On.
Don, you're on.
Good morning. I had to make a quick phone call. That's why I was off.
No, it's no problem.
No, it's no problem.
Hang on. I'm going to shut this off.
Hang on. I'm going to shut this off.
Okay. Let's see here.
Let's see here.
Where's the... What's going on? This should not be happening.
This should not be happening.
Say something.
Me?
Yeah.
Me? Hello?
Hello?
Yep. There's an echo.
Hang on.
I'm going to go to
System Preferences.
System Preferences.
Check out the sound.
Sound.
Output.
Output.
Input. It says internal speakers. Well, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on.
Hang on here. How's that? Anybody?
How's that?
Whoops.
Anybody? Whoops.
Still here.
Oh, boy. Say something, Rick.
I'm here.
Oh, wow. We're hearing an echo from you, too.
I hear no echo here.
Guys, I'm going to shut you off just for a minute.
Your speakers off.
Hang on. All right. Oh, okay. So I just shut off their microphones. I shut off their phones.
Oh.
And now let me turn Rick on.
If they're on their speaker phones, maybe that.
There you go. Are you hearing me, Rick?
I'm hearing you.
Okay. Hang on here. Don, I think you had your speaker phone on. You can't do that. When we're on the air. So let me put you back up. Turn your speakerphone off and just listen with your phone earpiece. Hang on.
Is that better?
Oh, that's much better. There we go.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Much better.
All right. Now.
No, there's an echo.
Uh-oh.
Hmm.
Time to wait.
Okay, let's try this again. Say something, Rick.
I'm here.
All right, so it's actually Don's connection. So, Don, if you want to say something, push 1, and we'll put you up just
can,
for the...
He can try to call back in. And
yeah, actually, I would do that, Don. I would hang up and call back in, and we'll try that again. In any case, we're delighted that you are here with us. I want to call everyone's attention to our chat room, where both of our websites are firmly linked, and you can click on them and go to our WordPress website, or you can go to our original website, which is one of them. The first one is located at spiritoftruthministry.net, and the original website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, T, and M. Now, hang on here. Let's make sure that that gets going. All right. Now, I want to just say a word quick-like to any of our friends who are listening because I posted this link on the Seventh-day Adventist worldwide Seventh-day Adventist forum website. If you are listening, we are delighted that you are here. If you'd like to call in and ask any questions, please do. We will be glad to answer. We are always kind, gentle, and respectful for all of the people who call in. So if you have any questions, please feel free to, and this goes for everybody, please feel free to chime in, and we would be glad to hear from you. So let us go ahead and have prayer, and we'll see where this is going to take us today. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being with us here today in spirit and in truth. We recognize, Father, that we don't know everything that we need to know in order to understand the truth. We recognize that we are wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And the first thing that we recognize is that we are naked and that we do not have the robe of righteousness that you will help us get. We are not there yet. And I pray, Father, that you will make that time soon so that we can be fully ready and firmly ready for service to the kingdom of heaven and to the world. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's been very interesting last few days on the forum. And I had another interesting issue with someone who actually turns out to be, I don't know whether he's a kindred spirit or not, but he is certainly... he is certainly trying to be humorous. He did something, though, that promoted and elicited my ire.
Yep.
And what that was he changed a post that I had made. Now, we have... And I'm doing this, I'm saying this for a very specific reason, and it will appear here in about a minute. He basically called me a coward.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, called me a coward. And so I wrote back, mm-hmm. So I'm a coward, am I? All right, and then I proceeded to ask him why he thought that I was a coward. And he just said, well, it was just kind of, I was kind of just joking with you and all that stuff. And then two posts down, when he was responding to something that I had said, he cut off and did not include the am I. So
mm-hmm.
He put my moniker there.
Right.
Music Man 1228 said, I am a coward.
Shame on you.
So I
he shouldn't have done that.
I excoriated him a little bit. Just saying, well, I'll read it. See if I can find it. It's down here. If you are going to change my post, then I will not respond to you in kind. I will simply not respond. I wrote, I am a coward, am I? And you changed it to, I am a coward. This is not funny, as I have had this occur before on other forums where people of faith decided I needed to be chided for my own understanding of salvation. I will not put up with this from you or anyone else. What I post is mine, not yours. So if this is sufficient warning, then we are good. If not, then dot, dot, dot. Now,
yep.
Here's where I'm going with this. If I feel that passionate about my words being taken
mm-hmm.
for granted, and instead of being taken for mm-hmm. granted,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, here's God,
right,
who mm-hmm. wants his words to be taken for granted. He wrote his commands on tablets of stone.
That's right.
And people have the audacity and the hubris and the chutzpah to change his words. Can you imagine how he feels?
Oh, yeah.
And I will tell you truthfully, when the time comes and people are held accountable mm-hmm. for changing God's words,
ooh, I would,
hesitate to even be in the
yeah.
same universe with them.
And they don't think
them.
God gets angry, that he's all love.
And I remember years ago, Rick said that the one thing God doesn't like above all else is when you call his mother a liar.
Very good.
You say that the Holy Spirit told me this or told me that, and that is totally different
mm-hmm.
than what the words of Jesus Christ say, that really makes God mad,
yeah.
makes him angry.
Ooh.
And God does not get angry throwing temper tantrums.
No, he doesn't.
And all he does is reward you
mm-hmm.
with whatever it is that you say you want. Just to be on the safe side, I want to reiterate what it is that we do here on the Bible on Trial.
Mm-hmm.
We test the words and teachings of everyone in the Bible, particularly the New Testament, against the words and teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness mm-hmm. disciples
mm-hmm.
while he was here on earth in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that was said specifically that way for a very good reason.
Right.
So that we can test our beliefs in order to find out whether or not they are true or whether we simply believe that they are true.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things that I have just recently pointed out on the forum that I am on. Testing never does anything to truth.
No.
If you test truth and it is truth, it does not change.
No, that's right.
But if you test truth and it turns out to be a lie, then what you've done is you've moved along the path towards salvation.
Yeah.
Because if you believe a lie as if it's the truth without accountability, by faith,
mm-hmm.
and believe that the robe of righteousness has been given to you by faith,
mm-hmm.
and you find out too late
mm-hmm.
that that is not true,
right.
you are dead, dead, dead.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
If you test your faith and your belief system against, not our words, not what we say here at Spirit of Truth Ministry, but against the words of Jesus Christ himself. And don't filter those words through any, how did Paul put it, glass darkly. If you will do that, you will find salvation. All right, there you go. So, what else are we going to do today, Rick?
Well, what were we talking about last Sabbath?
You know, and I just listened to that yesterday. I listened to that repeat. Go ahead, remind us.
Well, we spent quite a bit of time talking about the man and the woman in the garden.
Yep.
And
I spent quite a bit of time writing about that on the forum.
Well, here's the question I will ask. What was the specific purpose for the Son of Man, Son of God, to come here to this earth?
John,
I know
18,
where you're going.
37.
Yeah, so you can go ahead and read that, Dennis.
Oh, I don't have to go there. I know it by heart.
Mm-hmm.
For
okay.
this reason I was born, and for this reason I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.
Right.
Now, what does it mean to be of the truth?
It means everyone, and I'll insert a word that clarifies it. Everyone who is already of the truth hears my voice. In other words,
is he saying, if I say I love the truth, I only want the truth, don't lie to me, because I don't want to hear lies, I'm not interested in lies. Does that mean that by my mere statement of only being interested in the truth, does that mean I am of the truth?
No, not unless you're willing to constantly test what you believe to be true to see if it is true.
But what if I believe that God would never put me in a situation where I could be deceived? As long as I clearly have made my intent known to him that I only want to acknowledge him and worship him and pray to him.
Still, no, there's no cigar. I'm sorry on that. What Jesus said to his own, what Jesus said to his own disciples still applies to all of us. And Jesus said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead or deceive many.
You see, what most people believe is that many are those who are weak-minded and easily deceived and haven't really accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
All right. Then if that is the case, then where we need to go here to isolate it is Revelation 3:17, which says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. God is talking about people who believe they have the truth and cannot be fooled. And that
what about bit, Deuteronomy 13?
And by the way, that naked bit is very important. And there was, it is January, March, May of 2011. I think it is late in the month. I'm not sure. It was the weekend after I got my, I spent the week in the hospital with my osteomyelitis, and I was on the pump, and and you went to that very verse, and you talked about naked and reiterated that fun story about the king's new clothes. And I found it fascinating that what you said was amazingly poignant in that the king knew he was naked, because the parameter of the story was that only someone who was worthy to be in their position would be able to see their own clothes. He assumed that his entire kingdom believed that he was worthy and would see the clothes on him that he couldn't see.
Well, and the people of his kingdom couldn't see him wearing, couldn't see any clothes on him either, as
either.
He was parading down the thoroughfare.
But they didn't want to feel
didn't
like
wanna,
they were.
They didn't want to say he was naked, because then they would have been.
They would have admitted that they couldn't see it and they weren't worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then you pointed
and
out.
Yeah.
And then you pointed out that the only person who was willing to stand up and make a scene was a little child. And Jesus said, and a little child will lead them, because they are guileless. They will not, they don't, a little child isn't going to say, oh, daddy, those clothes are pretty, when the guy's buck naked walking, you know, riding down the street. So what was the, what
well,
was
yeah,
the
a little child is going to titter and laugh and, you know, he's not wearing any clothes, you know.
So where are we in Jeremiah 13?
Deuteronomy.
Oh, Deuteronomy 13?
Deuteronomy
okay.
13. But see, when I say, do you believe in the words of the Son of God? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So why don't you follow them? Well, I do. And I say, then why do you do this? Oh, well, because he said that's what you're supposed to do. I said, no, that's what Paul said. Well, but Paul was his apostle. So the thing is that they will acknowledge that the testimony of Jesus is different than the testimony of Paul. But the testimony of Jesus doesn't apply to them. And they have been convinced that the testimony of Jesus doesn't apply to them, that he was delivering the ideal, which was an old covenant ideology, and Paul is delivering the reality, which is a quote-unquote new covenant ideology, that we are now under the new covenant since the resurrection, and try and convince them otherwise. They won't be convinced.
So I can see. I can see why you're in Deuteronomy 13, 1 to 3.
Right.
Yeah. Would you like to read it?
I will do so. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
What was that last part you read, Dennis?
God is testing you?
God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord.
That hurts. God, don't you trust me when I say I love you? Really?
And his answer is, you're human, so no, I don't.
Does God need proof to know whether you love him or not?
Actually, no. He knows your heart.
But why does he do that?
I can tell you exactly why.
Who needs to know whether you love God or not? For sure.
You
for
do.
Certain.
You
yeah.
do. The testing is not for God. The testing is for you. And
so
see, I find...
Say, go ahead. Go ahead, Dennis.
I find it fascinating that people are so terrified of being tested. I have had students, now that I'm retired, can look back on this with great chuckling. I've had students, and by the way, as a band director, I have given very few tests. I give two tests a year, okay? And, you know, music tests, you know, what does this sign mean, and what does that thing say, and all that stuff. And they come in, and I pop it on them. I don't tell them I'm going to test you next week. They come in, I say, don't get your instruments out, here's a pencil, take this, start, don't talk to people, here's the test, you have to take it. And I'm telling you, the look of panic on their faces is heartwarming because the purpose of that test is to teach them what they don't know, is to teach them to recognize that they don't have the clothes on that they need to be a musician.
Yeah.
They don't have their musical clothes on. They're naked. So I agree with this sentiment in Deuteronomy 13:1-3. The idea of being tested should be looked forward to with great relish by God's people. The test will reveal where you are deficient. And since God can brook no deficiency when it comes to issuing robes of righteousness, you better take it seriously.
So what I'm saying is that if you really, how would you be able to prove that you really love God?
Again?
Is that a tough question?
No, say it again.
If you really love God, as you say you love God, then how would you prove to yourself that you love God?
By being obedient to his commandments.
And would it not be to acknowledge that you need to learn the testimony of Jesus as it was recorded by his eyewitness disciples?
Absolutely. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him, or reveal myself to him. And how does God reveal himself? What do we have that is left over from Jesus's time here on earth that reveals him?
His testimony.
his words.
His testimony.
Right.
Testimony.
That is why we make the declaration on this ministry that it is the words of Jesus Christ that he gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth that inform, that needs to inform our understanding.
So, for those who would recognize Paul as a valid apostle, preaching the gospel of God, as he says, Paul never, ever talks about his gospel being the gospel of the kingdom, ever. It was clearly stated by the Son of God that it was the gospel of the kingdom that was to be preached to the whole world. Paul typically refers to his gospel as the gospel of God, or the gospel of righteousness, or the gospel of peace.
And that is found in Matthew 24:14. The other one that is as important in issuing the challenge of the gospel of the kingdom is found in Matthew 28:18, 19, and 20.
Right.
And
where was the, where did the Son of God instruct his disciples to go with this?
To all nations.
Matthew 28.
Right.
To all nations. Even though many insist that the Son of God commissioned his disciples to take his message to the Jews.
That's right.
And even
Paul's message is to go to the Gentiles, right.
Mm-hmm.
And in Acts, there's the account of where Paul, it's in Acts, and I think it's in, Paul talks about it in Galatians, and then we have it in Acts, but they meet together. Paul meets with the Jewish Christian, quote unquote, they weren't Christians, they're followers of the way, led by James, by the way. They met in a meeting to determine what their specific responsibilities were. And if Luke wrote Acts, then Luke says that the agreement was that that group in Jerusalem would work among the Jews, and Paul and those who associated with him would work among the Gentiles, and they all shook hands and were in complete agreement.
One accord.
Paul makes it clear that his gospel came about after the resurrection and was the first time that the Gentiles would have the opportunity to be included with the Jews and to enjoy the same benefits that the Jews had been promised, that the Gentiles now would have access to and experience. But in Matthew 28, was it 19 through 21, that very last part there, the Son of God is clear. Go to all nations and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you to obey. You could, I added that. That's what he's saying. What I've told you that you must do is what you must tell the nation they must do. That's why I came here. It's what he's saying to them. I came here myself personally to deliver this testimony on behalf of the truth, because the ones that we have sent before, when he says we, he and the Father and the Holy Spirit, had sent messengers, prophets, to Israel throughout all their time as a nation, and even when they were in captivity. And few of the people ever bothered to listen because they didn't believe that they were any more valid a prophet than the other so-called prophets running around. And those other prophets were saying a whole lot nicer things, sounding more like what God would say to them than what these others, the one or two or three that were preaching death and destruction, they were just ranting fools. So the Son of God came here to this earth to deliver a testimony on behalf of the truth so that all of humanity would have access to the reliable truth, the truth that you can rely on. This, it's not someone else's words, someone else's text, someone else's feelings. It is the truth about God, and this is what you must know and practice. But then another guy comes along, and he says that he's had an epiphany, and that in this epiphany, he was told to take this message that he was going to be given to the Gentiles, that he had been specifically selected. And he says that he was specifically selected from his mother's womb. So it was God's intent before he was even born to have him be the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, Paul runs up against a problem. He finds out that he's not the only apostle preaching to these people that he has converted over to his way of thinking, the pagans that he's converted. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul goes to great lengths to convince the people of his veracity and truthful God-given authority. And I'm going to take this up. I encourage you to read that whole chapter. But what I'm going to start reading is verse 7 of chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. Or was I wrong, lowering myself so as to lift you high by preaching the gospel of God to you and taking no fee for it? I was robbing other churches, living on them so that I could serve you. When I was with you and ran out of money, I was no burden to anyone. The brothers who came from Macedonia provided me with everything I wanted. I was very careful, and I always shall be, not to be a burden to you in any way. And by Christ's truth in me, if you're paying attention to these, this cause of boasting will never be taken from me in the regions of Achaia. Would I do that if I did not love you? God knows I do. I intend to go on doing what I am doing if I did not love you. I would do that if I did not love you. God knows I do, and I intend on going on doing what I am doing now, leaving no opportunity for those people who are looking for an opportunity to claim equality with us in what they boast of. These people are counterfeit apostles, They are dishonest workmen disguised as apostles of Christ. There is nothing unexpected about that. If Satan himself goes disguised as an angel of light, there's no need to be surprised when his servants, too, disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. They will come to the end that they deserve. As I said before, let no one take me for a fool. But if you must, then treat me as a fool and let me do a little boasting of my own. What I'm going to say now is not prompted by the Lord, but said as if in a fit of folly, in the certainty that I have something to boast about. So what is he boasting about? Let's go down to verse 21. I hope you are ashamed of us for being weak with you instead. But if anyone wants some brazen speaking, I am still talking as a fool, then I can be as brazen as any of them. And about the same thing. Hebrews, are they? So am I. Israelites? So am I. Descendants of Abraham? So am I. The servants of Christ? I must be mad to say this. But so am I. And more than they. More, because I have worked harder. I have been sent to prison more often. Whipped so many times more. Often almost to death. 5 times I had the 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times I have been beaten with sticks. 1 I was stoned. 3 I have been shipwrecked. And 1 adrift in the open sea for a night and a day. Constantly traveling. I have been in danger from rivers and in danger from brigands. In danger from my own people and in danger from pagans. In danger from the towns. In danger from the open country. Danger at sea and danger from so-called brothers. I have worked and labored often without sleep. I've been hungry and thirsty and often starving. I have been in the cold without clothes. And to leave out much more, there is my daily preoccupation, my anxiety for all the churches. When any man has had scruples, I have had scruples with him. When any man is made to fall, I am tortured. If I am to boast, then let me boast of my own feebleness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, bless him forever, knows that I am not lying. When I was in Damascus, the ethnarch of King Atreus put guards around the city to catch me, and I had to be let down over the wall in a hamper through a window in order to escape. Now, wouldn't that be confirmation that Paul was an apostle of God? All that he's had to endure, the maltreatment, even more so than the other so-called apostles of Christ.
There are many people who use that in their own right to confirm that they're on God's side because Satan must be beating them up, you see. And one of the things that we have all experienced in one form or another is having hardships in our lives. And some of them are downright confusing. Why would God attack my family? Why would God attack my family to teach me a lesson? And the understanding that God does not use physical force like that to teach anyone a lesson, that all comes from Satan, does not negate the fact, just having that happen doesn't speak to the fact that you are either of God or not. It's just the way life is.
Dennis, I don't believe that not any of that happened. I mean, there
what I'm saying is,
these people whom he's having a hard time with right now. He's trying to convince them of his commitment. The thing is that after all of this ranting that he got up about how much he's had to endure, and I'm surprised the man even lived through it, you know, with all of this that he describes, it's like every time he turns around, there's some horrible thing happening to him.
Right,
but
and see, what I'm saying
who does
is this.
Cite as a witness? What I'm saying is, who does he cite? Name some person that anyone could go to on that day and say, did all of this happen to Paul? No. He says,
no one.
The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless him forever, knows if I am not lying. Well, okay, I can say that too and be the worst liar that the world ever knew.
That's what I'm saying, Rick. I'm saying that just because he said any of that doesn't make it true and doesn't make it mean anything. You see, we have all experienced bad things. And even if a tenth of what he said, of what Paul said, happened to him, it wasn't because God was with him or against him. It was simply bad things happen.
And it wasn't that because he was preaching the truth.
That's exactly right.
He is using all that has happened to him to demonstrate his commitment to the gospel of God, as in his own words, his gospel of God, and show how weak he is that he had finally decided that, well, maybe he needs to do some boasting. So if he was going to boast, he would boast in his weaknesses. And this is what he's going on and boasting about. But he's doing so to try and convince these people whom he's obviously losing control of because of the other false apostles, which he's talking about, that's his whole thing. And I would like to know who those other false apostles were. But the thing is, that's why I opened with the Deuteronomy 13. Because the only thing that Paul could offer me, if I was alive at that time, the only thing that he could offer me to show that what he was saying was 100% in accordance with the testimony of Jesus. And if it wasn't, I don't care how many times he had to go to prison. I don't care how many lashes he had received at the hands of the Jews. I don't care how much starvation and cold
and privation.
All of that. I don't care how much he had to suffer. I don't care that he says, you know, he was killing all the followers of the way, and then he had this epiphany, and he had a 180-degree turnabout, and now he joined them. But to me, he became a worse enemy, a more deadly enemy, by doing what he was doing than by killing them, because he was subverting what they were saying and getting people to believe that he had authority to do the things that he did because he had this 180-degree turnaround. And then, of course, you add on top of that his persecutions and imprisonments and everything else that he just listed. And what are people going to say? How can you say that Paul is a liar when he endured all of this for the sake of the gospel? But what gospel? Do you look and see what it is he's preaching? Because what he's preaching, by his own acknowledgement, was given to him, and he's the first one to say it. He's the apostle of the new covenant. And when this new covenant came in, he was the first one to preach about it. It wasn't Jesus Christ who preached about it. It was him. And so when you look at what he is saying, just here to try and authorize and legitimize what he's doing, it doesn't matter how much he offers to show how committed he is. I don't care how committed he is. If what he's preaching is not what Jesus told his eyewitness disciples, then he's as much a fraud as the devil who is working to undermine all of the truth.
And, Rick, Paul, in his own words, condemns himself time and time and time again, not just here, but in other places where he states as fact that which has been already proven false. One example of that is Romans 1, where Paul declares himself a bondservant of Christ Jesus. Interesting, many, and I would say about 90% of the time, Paul does not say Jesus Christ. He uses the appellation Christ Jesus. So, verse 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What scriptures? The Law and the Prophets, our Old Testament. And then he goes back on that in the next sentence concerning his son who was born, a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, the Law and the Prophets confirm that the Messiah will be born of the Holy Spirit. And here is Paul declaring that he was born of natural means as a descendant of the house of David. Right then and there, that one thing is enough to condemn Paul. And then you go through what Rick just read, mm-hmm. and you look at this and you say, what is it about Paul that engenders confidence in people of faith? Well, Rick, do you know what a confidence man is? Confidence person.
Yeah, they call when them a con artist.
Right, they run a con game. They run it, they gain your confidence by telling you what you want to hear, mm-hmm. and then they rob you blind before you even know that your bank account has been pilfered, and they're gone. That is exactly what the quotes unquote Apostle Paul did to the Christian church. And this sleight of hand, this con game, this magic show could not have come out of the mind of a human being. Just as what Jesus taught his disciples and the way in which he taught his disciples could not have come out of a mere mortal man. So we see that we are looking at the battle of the spirits.
You know, Dennis, a friend of mine, her mother's in the hospital on a respirator.
Oh.
And they've tried for I don't know, 4 or 5 times to wean her off of this respirator, and every time she failed. And it is not looking hopeful for her. And as a family, they were, the mother has been an Adventist, I think, is a third generation Adventist.
Mm.
And they were all raised as Seventh Adventists. But, you know, of late, they're not real what would you say? Practicing?
They're not practicing Adventists?
Yeah. But they still consider themselves Adventists. Well, the brother, the son of this, has been born again in the some born again church. And when he came to visit, he announced to everyone that their mother was going to hell. And the reason she was going to hell was because she hadn't been born again. Now, you know, I thought that somewhat perplexing, because obviously the born-again Christians are espousing the preachings of Paul. That's the only place where they could get this born again
garbage
idea. And I told my friend, you know, I thought that all you had to do was be saved was call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Paul. And her mother would have done that, because I know that her mother has always considered herself a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, would that not be calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
So how could someone who claims to be a born-again Christian say that his mother, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to hell if she dies?
It just shows you how screwed up and confusing trying to justify both sides of this equation.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the thing, Dennis. What I've noticed is people have varying degrees of accountability in this grace gospel. That you know, some you have to do quite a bit to demonstrate that you are, you know, that this is, that grace, the fruits of grace are what they are doing. But then it tends to make them quite a bit, very judgmental. So it's, you know, where do you start and where do you stop? And what I say is, you need to go to the truth. You need to go to the testimony of Jesus and learn that and follow that. Mm-hmm. And then there are no questions.
And from a mathematical standpoint, all equations have to equal, you know, both sides have to equal each other. In this case, there is no possible way of ever making this equation work, because the words of Jesus cannot and do not equal the words of Paul, and vice versa. So and that's where the struggle comes. And this is why people are confused. Anyway, we are going to see you all tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of Revelation of Jesus. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you have a good day. So long for now.